I don't know if you picked it up in the film or not, but there was no actual mention of the rapture in the film. Any of you that know what I'm talking about? See, God's plan and program, as I see it, and many of us do, from the scriptures, is that what they were talking about, this one world government, will actually not come into existence. That is, not in complete control, as they would suggest here, until God's people are taken out of the world. We're in an age called the church age, age of grace. At the end of this, called the time of the Gentiles, at the very end of this age of grace, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus is going to come back for his own. That the dead in Christ will rise first. That's every believer in the church age who has already died. They've already been buried. Their bodies are in a cemetery somewhere. Their soul and spirit is with the Lord. But the dead bodies in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the scriptures are very clear about that. And then starts this 7-year period of tribulation. At the end of that 7-year period of tribulation, it says that Christ will come back, establish his earthly reign. He will actually be the Messiah of the Jews. He'll establish it here on earth, and he will reign for a literal 1,000-year reign on earth. There are lots of other things that will happen at that time. But after that 1,000-year reign, eternity is about to begin. But there's one last event. It's not mentioned in the film, as the rapture was not mentioned. But you see, there is one more event in time that has to take place. Actually, it is the final event in time. Someone has put it like this. One day, God will put the final period on the final sentence, on the final paragraph, on the final page. And time as we know it will come to an end. There's only one thing left to do. There's only one event left in time. The French theologian put it like this. One day, God will come down with a big ring of keys and say, gentlemen, it's closing time. And everything will come to an end. Everything that man has schemed for and dreamed for and sold his soul for will turn to rust and dust and corruption, but there's one more event. And we read about it in the book of the Revelation. You have your Bible, open it to the last part of Revelation chapter 20. Just going to read a few verses from here. This is the last event in time as we know it before God establishes a new heaven and a new earth and eternity begins. Let me begin reading Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There are just three points I want to make about this. First of all, who is the judge? Who is this one that sits on this great white throne? Who is this one from whom the earth and the heavens fled away and was found no place for them? Well, first of all, you must understand what the great white throne is. I heard someone pray a prayer like this one time. Listen. They said, and Father, when we come before your great white throne, okay, don't pray that for me, okay? I'm not planning on being there. You see, there are many judgments in the Bible. This is one judgment you don't want to be at. You see, every person is going to be judged. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, You have a judgment to stand before, but not this one. This one here is for all of the unsaved, all of the unregenerate, all of the Christ rejectors ever since time has begun. These are the ones who are not Christians. No Christian. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you tonight, we'll be judged for our works, all right. What we built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but we'll never be judged for our sins. Christ paid it all at Calvary. So don't pray for me, because I'm not going to be at the great white throne judgment. That is, I'm not going to be in front of that throne. I may be behind it watching with the Lord Jesus, but I won't be judged at that throne. Neither will any who have Christ as their Savior. Who's the judge? Well, the judge is none other than Jesus Christ. In John 5:22, we read this: the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. There are several things we know about the judge. We know the judge is the Lord. We know he's not us. You see, we have great opinions of ourselves. If I were to be your judge, or you were to be my judge, then we compare ourselves with one another. Your father or your mother is not going to be a judge, or your brother or your sister. The Lord is going to be the judge, and the Lord has the facts. You see, he knows it all. The books are open. He keeps impeccable records. Someone said an angel with a pen of fire writes in table of lead, and they're impeccable records, and your name is in the records. Everyone has the records in heaven. And he opens a book. And out of the books, he knows according to the works that have been done. This judge has the facts. Now, on earth, you can fool a judge. I heard a story one time about a man that stole a watch, and they caught him, and he had to go to court. But they didn't have enough proof, and so the judge said, "Sam, you're acquitted." And Sam said, "Does that mean I have to give the watch back?" You know? Well, down here, we can fool an earthly judge. Down here, you can run out in the Florida Everglades or up in the Northwest Territories of Canada, and maybe you can hide and get away. Not with this judge. When this judge calls, you go. Not only does he have all the facts, not only does he know everything, but he has all power. You say, what do you mean? Well, the greatest power on earth is resurrection power. And in Acts 17:31, we read these words: God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man that whom he hath ordained, wherefore he has given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, you can't have court if the judge is dead, but Christ is raised from the dead. Not only has the Lord raised him, that is, his son, from the dead, but he's raised every defendant. Didn't we read it? Death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. There is no place you can hide. There is no place you can get away. You can't even pull the grave in over you and escape this judgment. When he calls, you come. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, he's got the knowledge. He's got the power. He's got every faculty that he needs to be a perfect judge, and the judge will be Jesus Christ. You know something? You have an unbreakable appointment if you don't know him. Some people say, I don't believe that. I don't want Christ in my life. You have an unbreakable appointment with Jesus Christ. You can meet him here as the Lamb of God. He died on an old cross for you 2,000 years ago for you. And you can meet him as a Savior. You can meet him as a friend. You can meet him as your God, but I'll tell you, you will meet him sooner or later. If you don't want to take him as your Savior, you'll have him as your judge. The Bible is clear. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the judge. But you'll meet Jesus Christ one way or the other. He's the judge. Let's look at something else. Number two, who are the judged? Christ is the judge. Who are those that are judged? Well, in our text, we read these words: I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You know what that means? Makes no difference what side of the tracks you live on, what kind of car you drive, what kind of education you have, how much money you got in the bank, what color your skin is. Makes no difference. The down and outers are there at the judgment, and the up and outers are there at the judgment. The dead, the small and the great, they're all there because they're Christ rejecters. You could probably divide the world into at least four categories when you talk about Christ rejectors. The out-and-out sinner will be there. Now, we expect that, don't we? I mean, even unsaved people, when they see an out-and-out sinner, I mean a really bad person, you know what they say? Get them, God, get them. I mean, we just expect the out-and-out sinner to be there, and God's wrath and judgment fall on them. I mean, these are the people who say there is no God. And they say if there is a God, he's not big enough to make me serve him. And they don't want to have anything to do with God. They blaspheme God. They reject God. They'd be there, the out-and-out sinner. But let me tell you who else will be there. The self-righteous will be there too. These are the people that never accepted Christ, but they were going on their own goodness. These are the people that belong to all the volunteer organizations, you know. They're a member of the Lodge. They work with the Red Cross. They're Boy Scouts. They're all kind. They're good people in the community. You won't find any better people in the community. But they're counting on their own goodness. Well, the Bible is very clear. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. None good, no, not one. And not of works, lest anyone should boast. Someone said there are, what, about 5 billion people upon the face of the earth right now. Something like that. And if you took a gold cup and handed it to the first one, and they lined up toe to heel and heel to toe and said they'd go to the moon and back and circle the earth twice, that's about how many people it'd be. And then they just told them, put all your goodness in that cup and pass it on. Well, when it got to the end of that line there, there wouldn't be enough goodness in that cup to save one small child, because it's not by our own righteousness. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is nauseating to God. It's like filthy rags to God. So the out-and-out sinner, he'll be there. He's going to be judged because he has no Savior. You know what? The self-righteous, he'll be there. He has no Savior either. He's counting on himself. But then there's a sad category of people that'll be there. You know who they are? I call them the church member. He'll be there. She's the one that's depending on their church membership. You ask them if they're a Christian, they'll tell you what church they belong to. You ask them if they're a Christian, they'll say, I was baptized when I was a baby. You ask them if they're a Christian, they'll tell you they teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, they do this, they do that. They're church members. Well, you know it as well as I do. You know, being a member of a church don't make you a Christian anymore, and standing in a garage makes you a car. And I tell you, it won't work, folks. Church members will be there. Why? Because they don't have Christ. All they have is a membership to a church. Christ is the issue, not the church. One last category I suggest for you is this. This is the person that said, tomorrow I'm going to accept Christ. There are people in hell tonight that said, tomorrow I'm going to get saved. Tomorrow you'll have more sins to repent of and less time to repent in. The Bible is very, very clear. Listen to me. They say to me as a preacher, don't manipulate the little children. Let the little children be children, preacher. Don't mess them up. And so the cuddly child turns into the tender teen. Now what do? When you're a teenager, you got your sports and you got your hobbies and you got your friends and you got your parties, and the tender teens turn into the tempestuous 20s. We're getting married. We're buying a car. We're getting a house. We're going to college. We don't have any time for God right now. This is the most important time of our life. And from the tempestuous 20s, you move into the tired 30s. You got to pay for that car. You got to pay for that house. All of a sudden, you realize, I got a wife. I got a husband. I got some kids. What am I going to be doing? But I don't have any time for God right now. And you move into the feverish 40s. World is passing you by. You're not making it too good. The kids are not doing too good. My job's not what I thought it would be. And you move into the frantic 50s. No time for God. I mean, we got to make it count. I'm looking forward to retirement. I'm getting my nest egg together. And then you move into the sinking 60s and the solemn 70s and the aching 80s and the nagging 90s, if you live that long. I don't know. But I tell you, there's one thing they've long forgot. You know what it is? Christ. They just put it off. And put it off. And put it off. Are you listening to me? Anything you do long enough, you get good at. Even saying no to Jesus Christ. The procrastinator will be there. That person will be there because he says, tomorrow I'm going to become a Christian. Well, we know who the judge is, Jesus Christ. We know who the judged are, the dead, the small and the great, but they're all rejectors. These are the people who have not the Lord Jesus. Finally, let me say this. What is the judgment? Every trial has three parts. You have the evidence, and then you have the defense, and then you have the verdict. In this case, let's suppose the evidence is given. The books are open. This is your life. You're on the old candid camera show, okay? And so he just rolls it back, and he says, here it is. Think about it just for a minute. The evidence. God's impeccable records rolled out, and your name is at the top of the list. Things you did when nobody else saw, God saw. Things that you hoped nobody else knew about, all recorded. The good and the bad, it's all there. Someone said they took the name of the Lord in vain, and they said, oh, I didn't mean anything about it. Well, I'll tell you, the angel recorded it. You see, you looked on the woman to lust, and the angel wrote down adultery. And you said, I hate you, and the angel wrote down murder. Because that's what the Bible says a man does in his heart. And then you took the thrice holy name of the God of Israel in vain. And then you turned around and said, oh, I didn't mean anything by that. Let me tell you something, ma'am, sir. That's written in heaven. It's in impeccable records. And your name's on the list. Every idle word that man shall say, shall he give an account thereof in the day of judgment. This is not some game. It's there. The facts are there. It's rolled back. And the Bible says, thou shalt not be guiltless who taketh his name in vain. God is going to vindicate the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's there. The facts are there. The evidence is there. You're a sinner. Your life has proved it. And God has the facts. Now, the next part is the defense. What will you say? You say, well, I didn't think it was true. Let me tell you something tonight. The Bible is what I've been reading from all weekend. The Bible is what I've been sharing all weekend. This is God's roadmap for you. This is the mind of God at your fingertips. You either have a Bible or you have access to a Bible, and let me give you some advice. Read it, because one day you're going to stand before it. And these words out of this book are going to judge you by the one to whom this book addresses as the judge, the Lord Jesus. It's true. You say, well, I didn't like the preacher. He hollered at me and told me I was going to hell, and I didn't like him, so I didn't think I'd believe it. Well, you know, we all like to be liked. And I wished you'd like me, but I'll tell you something. If you hate me, you'd better love Jesus, because he's your only hope, not me. Well, what about others? What would they think? Don't worry about them. I'll tell you, in that day, it'll be you and God. You won't answer for me, I won't answer for you. Your friend won't answer for you. Your parents won't answer for you. You'll answer for yourself. What will you say in that day? The evidence is there. It's all there. And then God turns to you and say, what's your defense? You know what you'll say? There's only one thing you'll say, and I'll tell you what it'll be. Guilty. You will agree with God. God is right, and you were wrong. And then the last part of every trial is this, the verdict. We read it. Let me read it again. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know what that scene will be like. I really don't know. But let me tell you something. You want mercy, you can have it right now. If you want grace, you can have it tonight. If you want God's love, I offer it to you right now. If you want the forgiveness of your sins, it's available to you right now. I cannot guarantee later. I don't even know about later tonight. I cannot guarantee tomorrow. I can only say to you, if you want to be saved, you can be saved tonight. If you want to avoid this judgment, you can avoid it tonight. But in that day, it's too late. In this day, it's according to works. You might say, oh, good, works. At least there'll be justice. No, I'll tell you, man is not saved by works, but he's judged by works. And there'll be degrees of punishment just as there are rewards for the righteous. But the Bible's clear about the verdict. Could it be a scene in heaven similar to this? That the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of all, says to the recording angel, search the books and see if his name appears. That angelic being with fear in his face opens the book of life and there searches in vain for your name. Frantically, he looks back to the master and says, Master, his name does not appear. And the Lord Jesus says, check the books again. Make sure. And that angel frantically turns the pages, but in vain, the name is not there. He says, Master, the name does not appear. I believe at that time the Lord Jesus Christ, with tears running down his face, would say these words to you. I begged you. I pleaded with you. I loved you. I sent a friend. I sent a preacher. I sent your parents. I sent your brother, your sister. They told you about this. I convicted you by my spirit, and you knew you should have accepted me, but you rejected me and rejected me, and there's nothing more I can do. And with tears, the Lord Jesus would have to say to you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And those angels take you to the abyss, to that bottomless pit, and they cast you in to the lake of fire. And the hairy arms of those demons grab you and drag you into the blackness of darkness with them. It's real. Telling you. I'm not trying to scare you. This is what the Bible says. God forbid there be anybody walk out of this room tonight and reject the love of God. I can't say any more. I don't know any more to say. I don't just run all over the country because I like traveling, leaving my family. I've prayed. We've all prayed. Your friends have prayed. The people at this assembly have prayed. They've worked hard to what? Come here and entertain you? No. To make sure that you go to heaven with them. Let me tell you something. Settle your case out of court tonight. Go to the only Savior. Admit you're a sinner. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You want to talk about it? I'll be right up here in the front. I'm not going to pressure you. I haven't pressured you all weekend. I'm not going to start tonight. But I'm telling you, we're praying that someone will get right with God. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian. You got a relative you've never talked to about the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you something? They are going to a devil's hell. And you sit by and you don't even have time to write them a letter. Give them a tract. Pray for them. God help you tonight. If you're a Christian and you haven't witnessed to your loved ones, you do it lovingly, kindly, patiently, tenderly, as the Savior would. But some of you haven't even cared. I know it. Now, God, stir our hearts and encourage us tonight to be all that He wants us to be. This message is not just for the unsaved. It's for those of us who know the Lord. I close with this thought. I was reading in Ezekiel 33. It's been about 7 years ago. And in Ezekiel 33, it says this. It says, Ezekiel, I've set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. And he says, if a watchman sees the enemy coming, and he does not warn the people that's within that the enemy is coming, and the enemy comes and overtakes those people, the blood is on the watchman's hands. But he said, if the watchman sees the enemy coming and he warns the people within that the enemy is coming, and the people within decide not to flee from the enemy, then the blood is on their own hands. I read that. I went to my wife. I'm living in Northern Ontario. All of my family live in the South. And Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, many of these states. And I said to my wife, God has given me a burden. Many of my own family know I'm a preacher, but I've not shared Christ with them. And I said, if God give me the time and the money, I'm going. 3,500 miles later, I knocked on the door of the last relative that I had. God gave me the time and the money. And I'm going to tell you something. I went to every one of them. And I said, I've only come for one reason. Some of them I didn't even stay with more than an hour. I've come to share with you what Jesus Christ means to me and what He can do for you. Their blood's on their own hands. I pray for them. I pray that God would save them, many of them. And I'll tell you something tonight. The Bible is real. This right here, it's already in the makings, I can assure you. We don't know the half of what's going on. But we're here tonight. Some of you may not be saved. Why don't you get saved tonight? Why don't you trust Christ tonight? Why don't some of you get a real burden for your friends and your relatives and make it a desire of your heart to share Christ with them before it's eternally too late? Let's pray. Father, we're handling eternal things and we don't take it lightly. We couldn't cause an anxious thought, but we know Thy Spirit can. Oh God, we pray a moving of Thy Spirit even this hour, that none would pass through these doors going out of this building without Christ. Help them to be bold enough. Give them strength and faith if they don't know the Lord, to come down and talk to me about it. Talk to their friend about it. Someone here that they know. And settle the whole matter tonight. Receive the Lamb of God and avoid the lion of the tribe of Judah. For those who are saved, Lord, and they've been shy, they won't witness, then they haven't reached out to their friends and neighbors, their loved ones. Oh God, show them where their loved ones are going. Give them a burden, a desire to write them, phone them, visit them, share with them a track, a testimony, some way, somehow, speak well of the Savior. Father, we commend ourselves to Thee and to the ministry of the conviction of the Spirit of God that something for eternity could happen here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to talk, I'll be available. Just
a couple quick announcements and then I'll let you go. 9:15 sharp tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, hope we can all come and worship the Lord at the Lord's Supper. Don't forget to check the clothing and different stuff up here. We don't want it left. And if you haven't registered, Uncle Dave is going to be downstairs. Make sure you see him. He can set you up with a place to stay. And make sure you check in with him as far as that goes. Don't leave your cars in the parking lot. We've already had 2 tickets given out, so it's fair warning that way. We'd like for you to find your hosts. It's been a long day. Some are tired, some aren't, but let's get to our proper places. Thank you. You're dismissed.
Good start. Let's ask the Lord to bless this meeting right off the bat, and we've asked Bob Thomas if he'd do that. Bob, would you please?
Our Father, we thank you that we do have truly a great God, that we can sing praises and honor and glory to your name. Father, we thank you for this wonderful conference we've had this weekend. We thank you for the fellowship we've enjoyed this past week and here, and our Father, this weekend. And our Father, we thank you for the messages that we've heard. Father, we think of Joe Reese and the challenges that he has given to each one of us, our Father, and we know that there may even be some here that have not accepted Christ, and pray that those that may not have accepted you yet, before they leave this conference, may have accepted you. And then Joe also has challenged those of us that have accepted you. And our Father, we've been challenged to live a wholly dedicated lives for you. Our Father, we're each challenged to seek you, to live for you. And our Father, we pray that you'll be with the message this morning, with each one of us. Thank you again for the opportunity for a group of young people like this to get together unto thy word. Thank you for thy message. Thank you for this day. We pray this in thy name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to make use of both the red hymnal and a few of the slides on the overhead, I should say. Would you please turn to number 51 in the red hymnal? This is a big old powerful song, and we'll shift back to one of the overheads. Okay, verses 1 and 3 only.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortune of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my glory, this is my glory.
Is beginning to wind down. Many of you are really singing, but I can tell and recognize that some are not. You're kind of talking or reading or whatever. Let's sing. It can sound the best ever. As the Deer Pans is one that a number have already asked for. Let's enjoy it. If you don't know this beautiful hymn, I trust it'll be important to you very quickly. privilege, of course, to have Bill Carson on the organ at this time now, and also Jane Main visiting with us, helping us on the piano. So we've got great accompaniment. We're glad for that. Now, Bill just learned this one today. He'd heard it probably once before, and Jane knows it too. All Heaven Declares. What a powerful song to continue after that last one. Not a trick question or a joke. How many did hear that for their first time this morning? I think some of you, as older ones who weren't at Lilo, like, good. I'll bet you liked it, didn't you? It's a great hymn.
Tremendous song.
Okay, we're going to have announcements after one more song, and that song happens to be an encouragement song, I think, number 805 in the red hymnal, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Right after that, Scott will have the announcements. We'll sing one more song, then guys, when they go to get Uncle Dave and Aunt Ruth to come up, those who stayed at Uncle Dave's house will be coming up to sing. Now, you'll need to bring the book. I've got the two song numbers. That's okay. And we'll have that one song for every, or two songs for everybody, following the announcements and a congregational hymn. 805, way at the back, after even some of the readings.
God sent His Son. Across that river.
excellent singing. Scott.
For those of you that are just coming in today, I'd like to welcome you to the 94 conference here at Blaisdell. I've got some general announcements for the Blaisdell folks that are mixed in the audience. Monday night is a missionary conference planning meeting, 7:30 at Uncle Dave's home. The Awana program, there will be more information and update probably given at Thursday night's meeting. And Thursday night, Dan Snadden is his name. He'll be the speaker coming up Thursday night. For the conference, we have one announcement. That's 12:30 is going to be lunch. We hope you can all stay. We understand some have to leave, you know, to get traveling home and whatnot. But we will have lunch downstairs, and then right after lunch, Joe Reese, I almost called him Sam again. Joe, he's going to give about a 15-minute closing remarks, so stay in your seats after you've finished your lunch so he can do that. This time, Jason Taylor, is he here? Yeah, there he is. He's going to come up and make a brief...
Go Browns. Did you know that in the book of Revelation, there's a promise? And there's a promise that says that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to be able to take part in a very glorious event, an event that's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And do you know what? Do you know where it's going to be held? That's right, Stony Glen Camp, Madison, Ohio. It's not quite heaven, but it's the next best thing, okay? This... Oh, Scotty. This year at the Ohio Conference, Thanksgiving Conference, 1994, we're going to be looking at, Rob Solomon is going to be our speaker, and we'll be going to, I can't talk right today. We're going to be looking at the marriage between the church and Christ, specifically in the verse Romans 7:4. It says, being dead to the law and being married to another, even Christ, that we may bear fruit to him. The dates are, let me check here, November 25th through the 27th. Where's, Ginny, stand up. Ginny, I'll stand up. And Penny Sanchez, where's Penny Sanchez? Penny's over there. The three of us have these folders. They're applications. You come to us, and we'll give them to you. You come to us, and we'll give plenty for you, and maybe for your assembly of the church and youth group that you attend, okay? Ohio Conference, 1994, be there.
Hey, would you turn over to number 741? And while that's taking place, Scott, if you'll get Uncle Dave and Aunt Ruth, and guys, if you'll kind of get your minds prepared. Isn't it interesting? There was a Hiram House conference for many years in Ohio, and then there's been Blaisdell Young People's Conference for 36 years. And now we have these other ones, Believers Chapel in Ohio, Scott Lee. Good opportunities for everybody to get together month after month after month.
Ready. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin. Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart, and now I'm singing. As the days go by, Jesus took my burdens all away.
You sing that like you know it. Let's do it one last time.
I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin. The load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart, and now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away.
Real good. Now we're going to have that sort of annual event now. Uncle Dave, is going to call up all of the guys that stayed there Friday and Saturday night. Come on up, guys. Bring it, bring this red hymnal, and we'll sing for you. Okay, 814. Last night, somewhere around 12 o'clock till about maybe 1 o'clock, we sang and we sang and we sang. And we wanted to do these two numbers, just one verse of Wonderful Grace of Jesus, followed by that great hymn, Hallelujah, What a Savior. It's in your hymnal, but we'll sing it for you. And the guys did ask that there be no applause afterwards. We know this is your, these are your friends, probably, or enemies, whatever. And certainly... And certainly you appreciate them. But this, we really want to do this for the Lord and also say we had a lot of great fellowship together. Okay.
Taking the way my burden, setting my spirit free.
chance. Now would you turn over, please, to number 736. Two choruses. Thank you, guys. 736. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and then His name is wonderful.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, I will sing. I praise the Lord.
Last song is 811, His name is wonderful. Give the Lord some pleasure and enjoyment when we sing unto Him. I know it's really enjoyable for us. So He blesses us, and in some way we bless Him. Now let's have our hearts open for Joe Reese.